The Gardener's Wife, a play in free verse by Charlotte Mandel. Cast of characters, Eve, Adam, Lilith, Cain, Abel. Place, the house that Adam builds, the garden he designs and plants. Time, continuing. Curtain is a scrim depicting clear noonday sky, white clouds floating on blue. Morning calls of songbirds, rustling leaves. The pastoral medley gradually gives way to the whining drone of a handheld chainsaw. Direction signifies stage left and stage right. As light comes up, we see through the scrim, stage areas divided in two. At right, the house, interior exposed, white, airy, abstract, open framework. At left, the outdoors, a naturalistic garden, but gashed by raw stumps of slender trees, pin oak, maple, scrub pine. Beyond, untouched woods, a green hill, a rock cliff. It is an afternoon in early spring. The furnishings and landscape features are minimal, suggested rather than actual. Scenes should be able to shift like states of mind. Scrim rises. Eve sits at a white table she uses as a desk. Her fingers rest on the keys of a small portable typewriter. Dressed in a comfortable pastel-colored shift dress, she will look to be anywhere from 20 to 50 as the play shifts in time. Her body is strong, physically sensual, without self-consciousness. Wide casement windows are open to her view, imaginary to the audience. She seems to stiffen and vibrate with each restart of the chainsaw. The sound stops. Adam appears at the far end of the garden. Eve begins to type, speaking aloud without looking at him, his movements enacting her words. Adam moves to the center of the garden. He turns himself around as on the pinwheel of a watch, degree by degree, measuring the landscape with his eyes until he has turned full circle. Eve simultaneously typing, speaking. As though you were the axis of the universe, you stood in the center of our garden and turned full circle, measuring the landscape. Adam kneels and begins to hammer a stake into the ground. Eve typing. Satisfied, you knelt and hammered a stake into the ground. Adam. The edge of the pond will begin here. Eve. Amputate, uproot, and dig. So ends my window world, throws up her hands. These keys die without the woodpecker tapping rhythm, looks towards her husband. Adam, didn't I have equal right to the grove? She gets up and goes out to the patio, speaking directly towards him. Didn't I have a right to those trees? Adam speaking to himself as much as to his wife. No flowers. This is to be a meditation garden. Rocks, water, fish. Eve, to anyone who will listen, you know how birds get into disputes. Those trills and chucks of the tongue have to do with nesting privilege, pride of place. Adam! He does not look up. Did you see the oriole this morning? Points down at a stump. On the stump of its nesting tree, scolding and pecking imaginary rivals out of habit. The cardinals stood like figures to decorate a flower pot, scarlet cock, washed out pink hen. Adam, the rock border will reflect onto gold and red carp. They will appear to be swimming through mountains. Gazing at goldfish elicits mindfulness towards the truth of ambiguity. Eve, the oriole's wings were yellow and black, sniffing, blinking. The house is full of smoke. You've choked up the fireplace with fresh-cut pine. Rosins are oozing and dripping onto the grate. My eyes are burning. Adam, to see orange and gold flames underwater. Eve, looking directly at her husband. You are all that I see. Adam, pause. He pays attention to her now. Eve, sometimes I have trouble finding you. Eve, you see me as a fixture of this house, like the door frame, kitchen wainscoting, bench fitted into the bay window. Adam, I built every part of this house with my own hands, and I made it to your measure. He takes a few steps towards her, opens his arms, and outlines her form with his hands, not quite touching. I'm always seeing you for the first time. Light fades to dark, bird songs are heard, light of morning rises as they continue to stand facing one another. They are young in a sun-filled garden. Eve, are you my creator? Adam, if your name is Eve, I think you may be perfect. Are you testing me? No, I want to taste you. As he moves to kiss her, she puts her hand between their mouths. Eve, wait, there is a taste. I know words for this. Tongue, teeth, lips. I am a cup filled with words. Touching him. Barrier bone, pillow, breast. He stops her words quickly to kiss her. Slowly they taste the surprise of each other's lips. Adam, salt, sweet. Eve, sweat. Your sweat is cool, then the heat of your skin. How hard fits to soft. Oh, I think we may both be perfect. They fully embrace, young, ardent, hands and lips eager. Adam, this shady oval of grass was our first bed. Eve, the orchard blossoms were falling in their first season. Adam, the same fragrance of grapes almost about to sour on the vine. Eve, I patted a snake, loved its copper and green in the sun, head lifted, its little forked tongue moving in and out, tuned to every vibration of my thighs. Stage darkens, then flashes of lightning reveal them downstage, running across left to right, blackout. Daylight, laughing together after making love. Eve, not expelled, we escaped. You never wanted to be anybody's hireling. Adam, it was a world without sting or venom or ambiguity. Eve, his garden was a pose, like pictures in a mail-order catalog. Adam, our function was to complete a pattern of conceptual art. We pleased him like colorful birds hatched inside an aviary, open to the blue sky, but heads wary under a dome of invisible wire. Creator tossed us into play like pieces on a board game. Eve, Adam, you and I were the only pegs on the board worth the risk of free will. Adam, like pepper, dashed into the season. Creator's own hubris. Why stipple our tongues with alphabet if only to spell words of congratulation? Eve, the letters we spit back spelled human. Adam, banishment, exile, paper words singed by his own lightning. Fire ate a road to freedom. We ran with outstretched arms. They gesture, acting out their words. Eve, revolving like blades of windmills. Adam, stealing power from the air. They race off, triumphant, to right. Light darkens, then brightens. Lilith enters downstage left, looking all about her. She checks out the varieties of plantings Adam has set. Lilith, aha, his garden is a scale model of the other one. That man never had an original thought in his head. Hibiscus, pumpkin facing south. To the west, blackberry. Like lilac chase, my favorite late bloomer. Food for bees when time turns to seed. Adam is seen in the distance, working a far corner of the field. Eve's voice, Adam, is that you? Eve, pregnant, near term, comes through the house, stands on the doorway. Her arms reach out with possibility at the sight of another woman in the world, then in terror wrap around her belly as though to protect her unborn child. What are you? Sometimes I dream. Are you real? Lilith, touch me. My name is Lilith. Didn't either of your creators ever speak of me? Eve, the one before me, discarded for being imperfect. Lilith, my dear, we are both perfectly over-intelligent. They try to confine me within a wall of brambles. You know, like Sleeping Beauty. Eve shakes her head. A story, Eve, that you will write. Eve, I do like to write stories, but Lilith, but I hoisted myself over the wall. I'm a born acrobat. Eve, in Adam's story, you give birth to demons. Lilith, our children will be cousins, Eve, you'll see. Demonic is child of human. Eve outlines Lilith's form with her hands, not quite touching. Your form is like mine. You were first. Lilith, I am a first draft. You're a revised version, Eve, more adaptable to wifehood. Nor is Adam the first draft of a man. Before Adam, Creator attempted a man with wings and boringly sweet disposition. That angel couldn't or wouldn't stay grounded, useless for digging in gardens. Creator uses him like a trained pigeon to carry messages. Eve, do you want to come into the house? Do you want me to call Adam? Lilith, yes, I'll come into your house. No, don't call him. I'd only be invisible. Your husband only has eyes for you. There's an example of Creator's own hubris, to implant monogamous ideal into a free-will sexual being. Yet for you and Adam, I think it works. Eve, you were the first wife. Are you my mother? We're born of the same ingredients, dear Eve, of earth and salt water. Creator squashed and patted us out of the same body of mud. In this story, Adam keeps his rib. Eve looks distressed. Lilith, sensitive to her distress, caresses her face. I think we are both perfect. Eve's arms are wrapped around her belly as though trying to contain it. Lilith? Yes. There is something inside. Here. Hands on her pregnancy. Yes. It's alive. Yes. It swells, grows, stretches until I ache. I know. It feels as though this living thing is a substance boiling and seething. My belly's become a cauldron, as if all the angers of Creator are on fire inside me, here. Lilith, no, not all Creator's anger. His supply is infinite. The more we scoop out, the more we add to the pot. Eve, I did not put this being into my belly of my own free will. Lilith, you were part of the garden, a fertile part. Do you love Adam of your own free will? Do I? Lilith, you are the mother of what comes to life inside you. Eve falls to her knees. Oh, it kicked me again. Lilith, tell me how much more must it hurt? I've seen animals. They lick off black blood and purple slime. Out in the field, Adam swings a heavy pick onto a boulder with a loud clang. Lilith holding Eve, rocking. I am your midwife, your healer. We are the two women of the world. Come, let's take you back into the house. Helps Eve enter the house. Eve's labor begins. As Lilith guides her through the birthing, Adam continues to labor in the field. The clanging of his pick on the rock accompanies the rhythms of Eve's panting and stifled cries, the steady beat of Lilith's voice chanting instructions. Lilith, ah, now pain is your river. Ah, now pain is the raft. Ah, now little one, float, float. Ah, now push. Ah, 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 a newborn's cry slices through all other sounds. Lilith crosses her arms to hold the infant tightly to her chest for a moment before she gives it over to Eve. Lilith washes the baby as Eve admires in wonder. The baby cries and cries. Eve, it is a male, isn't it? Look, it has a tiny erection. To her infant, gazing into the newborn's face. Don't make so much noise, tiny thing. Please tell me why you're wailing so. Lilith, hunger, sign of an active future. open your blouse, Eve. See, your nipple is leaking. Let your baby's lips and tongue taste you. Eve nurses the infant. Lilith watches. Forever so, the classic pose. Eve speaking to the infant, absorbed in watching. How utterly, totally helpless you are. What is it like to be so helpless? I never had to suffer through a childhood. To Lilith, will it be painful to grow into a man? Always. What do I have to do? He will do it all. He inherits himself. At that moment, Adam, weary from his day's work in the field, approaches the house. Lilith senses his approach and stands up to leave. Eve, no, stay with me. Lilith, you'll see me again, dear sibling. I'll be around a long time, like you. Bends and kisses Eve on the mouth, then slips away through a back door of the house, not the direction from which she came. Adam, astonished and excited, Eve, let me see. Eve uncovers the infant and shows him its naked little body. Look, Adam, I too have created a man. His name is Cain. End of Act One. Slow fade indicates time passing. Evening, night, dawn. A crow calls in the distance, another answers closer. Light builds to late afternoon, sun and long shadow. Eve sits typing at her desk. Upstage, out in the field, Adam and their teenage son Cain are harvesting wheat. The youth is handsome, broad-shouldered, muscular. Father and son work in harmonious rhythm toward stage right wings as Lilith enters the house from downstage left. She stands quietly looking over Eve's shoulder at the text. With a flourish, Eve disengages the sheet of paper from her typewriter. Eve, Lilith, did you know that where the high cliff stands, there was once an ocean? Adam keeps finding fossil evidence. Look, showing her a rock. A sea creature skeleton embedded in rock from the plateau. He says Creator established the sea before deciding on land. Lilith, oh, yes, he modeled us originally as mermen and women. Eve, you're teasing me. Is that the truth? Lilith, why not? What have you written today? Eve, because I'm so happy I'm writing. Lilith, a psalm. Read me your poem. Eve, reading to herself, then aloud. Shivered like water, seeping from the secret daughter, spring of a rivulet we traced, barefoot on porous limestone laced with skeletons, curled devil tails of Precambrian trilobites, failed species, yet our cousins. Lilith picks up the paper, reads, a psalm to praise each ripple of breeze, calm eddy of moon-drawn motion. Eve concluding, salt in us, blue-veined ocean. Lilith, poet, you are our visionary historian. I am the one with 2020 insight, journalist with an eye on the news. Eve, before anything else, I am a wife and mother. Adam and Cain, at work in the field, come back into view. Lilith moves to the doorstep and watches them. Lilith, two strong sons, Eve. Which one is closer to you? Eve, a mother never plays favorites. Sometimes their father, well, he sort of looks the other way. I mean, she trails off. In the field, Adam straightens and gazes into the distance. Lilith smiles somewhat ironically, but keeps silent and exits. Eve watches her go, a bit puzzled, but then smiles, rereading her poem to herself. Adam to Cain. There's dust rising on the foothills. Your brother will have the flock home by sunset. Cain. He ought to sleep with them out on the hills, not drive them so far each night. The meat you love will be tough as leather. Why bring the sheep back every single night? Adam, it cheers us to look at both our sons' faces in the evening. We enjoy the likeness and difference between you. Cain, you let him insult me. Adam, Abel is a clever hunter. What's wrong with bragging a little? He anticipates the habits of animals, knows when the wild ducks and geese congregate at water holes. Cain, yes, he is stealthy and quick. You like him to put pieces of animals into your mouth. I won't eat any live thing slaughtered and chopped apart. The smell of it burning rises to the heavens. Adam, the aroma of fat meat on the fire gives me strength. Cain, I feed you bread, Father, from this very wheat. I invented the thresher and built the mill. I've planted roots and leafy vegetables, seeded more fruit trees, expanded the vineyard. Adam, you're a diligent farmer, Cain. With you in the field, I can go back to extending the architecture of the garden. Let Creator see all that I have made happen here. Cain, Creator again. Who are you talking about? Adam, ignoring Cain's question. I'll bring the cart around. Exits left. Cain, frustrated, swings his scythe at a stand of tall stalks of wheat. Off stage, sounds of bleating sheep, a dog barking, a youth's voice guiding the animals. Then, nearby, outside the house, a tune whistled. Eve perks up her head, stops typing, and stands up. Abel enters from right, the side where the house stands, and jumps onto the threshold. He is appealingly boyish, slim and lithe. Mother! Eve runs to him eagerly. Abel, my bird boy. Abel, beautiful birds, mother. Two fat ducks ready to be strung on the drying rack. I've thrown the entrails to the dogs. Adam and Cain enter. Cain carries the scythe. Eve, have we ever lived so well? Let Creator see all that I have made happen here. Abel, who are you talking about, Mother? Eve ignores Abel's question and goes back into the house, followed by Adam. Abel faces his brother. Abel, haven't you found out, Farmer? You're at Father's side all day long. Who is the mystery Creator? Lilith enters left. They do not see or hear her. Lilith, the jealous one, dear boys. They are speaking of the jealous one. The one who shrivels at the sight of all that I, too, have made happen here. We inherit his envy like a parasite traveling our bones. Lilith moves nearer to them, her hands reaching. They do not see or hear her. My hands were the first to touch you when you were born. My hands, like bellows, blew breath into your chests. Abel and Cain are facing each other off, breathing heavily. Lilith lets her arms drop, exits. Staging of the brothers' confrontation should express a taunting attitude on Abel's part, provoking Cain's fury. Abel is reckless. Praised and beloved, he feels invulnerable. His unpricked self-assurance renders him insensitive to the hurt he may inflict upon his brother's feelings. The following action should move very quickly. Abel initiates a boxing match, skipping about. Cain, in grim frustration, at first wards him off with the handle of the scythe, spins about, and finally strikes a blow with all his strength. Abel reels and falls, hitting his head on one of Adam's meditation rocks. Abel lies sprawled on the ground, his head on the rock, instantly killed. Ambiguity is essential. Cain's blow may or may not have intended to kill. Cain stands over Abel with the weapon, nudges him with his foot, drops the scythe, bends down, and pulls at Abel's hands. Get up, Prancer! Get up! Cain discovers blood on his hand, tries to wipe it off with his own shirt. Abel, you're bleeding! Get up! Terrified by the blood on Abel, the scythe, the rock, his hands in his own clothing, Cain runs off. Brief blackout. Sounds of pastoral birdsong as daylight returns. Abel's body lies center stage as before. Adam stands left, downstage. Eve stands right, downstage. They are seeing past the heads of the audience. Adam, If we had known that parenthood would trap us, that our sons would be pieces on the game board, spelled the word death, A-B-E-L, the word murder, C-A-I-N, Eve. I tried to birth him again. I licked his face, his hands. A cow knows to lick and lick her own blood from her newborn. She nudges it to stand. It must stand on wobbly limbs to suck milk. They move as one to their son's body, form a ring with their arms, lift the corpse, try to stand him up, then give up, and kneel together on either side of him, caressing him as he lies on the ground. Adam, we tried to cure him with milk. You brought the milk goat, squeezed her swollen teats while I held his limp body, his hunter's muscular body, and forced his lips back from his teeth. Eve, he was too cold. Warm milk congealed in the corners of his mouth. Adam, looking around and upward in a fury, where is my other son? Eve, gone. We've lost them both. Must we start over? I have no room for you to enter me. That space in my body is blocked by loss, like a stillborn stone. Adam, arms raised in anger to the sky, will you ever die? Here is sacrifice to burn for you. Adam, I hated you, Adam, for cutting down my trees, sibilant speech of the leaves, sway of the gray cedars. Adam, aromatic kindling for his funeral pyre. You complained the hearth was choked with fresh tree sap. Now blood will add marbling to the smoke, tingling in Creator's nostrils. Eve, Adam, I don't know how to weep. Adam, nor do I. A child knows how, but we were never children. A newborn cries with its first breath. Tears are a child's language of survival. Together they rest Abel's form across their thighs, a mutual father-mother version of pietà. Adam, his eyes are wide open, passes his hand in front of Abel's face. He doesn't see me. Eve, perhaps he hears. Speak to him, Adam. I believe in words. Adam, alphabet forges links in a chain. Death, grief. Eve, grief is a womb that never comes to term. Adam to his dead son, Abel, close your eyes. Eve, how helpless he is to do anything for himself, more helpless than when he was born and could at least cry. Adam, close his eyes for him, Eve. Hesitant with false starts, Eve's hand moves down Abel's face. At last, their sobs and tears begin. Blackout. Spotlight downstage left. Lilith enters, leading Cain by the hand like a reluctant little boy. Cain, I want to go back. You're not my mother. Lilith, no, my dear. I am not the one who writes stories and poems trying to change the endings. Call me aunt, stepmother, lover. Come, you have so many cousins. Cain, which one will kill me? Lilith, Cain, my dear, we need you in our world. You're a farmer, an inventor. Cain, I've invented murder. Lilith, did you want your brother to die? Cain, I wanted to kill him, but I didn't choose for him to die. Lilith, ah, certainly, you did not choose to be an inventor. She imprints a lipstick kiss upon his forehead. There, you'll wear the red mark of my lips as proof of my loving protection. Come, let me introduce you to your family. They exit into the wings, spotlight holding a pause on the empty stage as though waiting for them to return. Scrim falls. As light fades to black, light returns. Scrim rises. Scene as at opening curtain. Eve at her typewriter, Adam in the field. Eve writing her text. So sure he could fly. That was why I called Abel my bird boy. Oh, I could have killed him that time. Young Abel's voice. Ma, watch me fly. Eve, his knuckly toes gripped the edge of the quarry, a vertical drop to the black well of water far down, down. Oh, I wanted to kill him. Young Abel's voice. Ma, watch me fly. Eve threw off his clothes. I saw his navel, the dimple and crack of his flat buttocks. Young Abel's voice. Ma, look at me. Eve throws her head back to scream his name. Abel! I was screaming his name. Abel! I was too far below the top of the cliff to stop him, too far above the deep water to race down and catch him. Young Abel's voice. Ma, I'm going to fly. Eve, into the air he leapt, the sound of his cry spiraling down, down. He leapt, dived under, lost in the black well of water, then rose into the sun, gliding like a water bird on the surface, and perched on the edge to dry, preening like a swan. I yelled at him, and he said, "Tell me a story." I wanted to kill him. Every mother carries murder in her heart. Young Abel's voice, "Tell me a story about when you were little." Eve, taking her hands from the typewriter. "There is no such story. No childhood begins me. I thought story was mine to create by what I lived." Abel in his bones knew he was invulnerable to rock or water or mother's rage against the author who had named him the one who would be killed by his brother. Eve stands up, walks out to the meditation pond. "I no longer believe in words. To kill in war is not murder. War between brothers is civil." Looking down at the pond. After sundown, Adam's goldfish burned to cinders. Suddenly, the sound of the chainsaw that seems to vibrate through her body, followed by crash of a tree falling. Eve stands shocked. Adam appears left, intent on studying a compass in his palm. "Eve, what have you done now?" "Adam, we need more houses. If I had built a house for each of our sons to live apart, we might have averted, prevented, organized a plan. I should have extended the garden. They were grown men. I was their creator. I should have given each of them the same right that I had taken, the right to shape my own world." "Eve, are you trying to destroy me?" "Adam, Eve, I too. I created a garden and expected they would live to please me. It was I who Cain wanted to kill. Now he has run away just as we ran." Eve, despairing. "Adam, let them go. Let the one die who is dead. Let the one live who is lost." She goes to him, takes his hands in hers, looks into his eyes. "Listen, Adam, give me your compass." "Adam, what for?" "Eve, let me show you. I want a garden, southeast, pointing, to be a space for me to work, walk, read, and dream. An outdoor room with curved garden chairs and a table I might in good weather lean my notebook on. I want cosmos, narcissus, savory, blackberry, dappled shade beneath magnolia, white slender birches with leaves that do not fall until they turn aureole yellow. Adam, I would have to displace what I've planned there." "Eve, that is my wish now. And Adam, help me displace the womb of my grief. I want to conceive again." "Adam," looking off towards the woods. "Tonight the moonflower opens, a rare bloom that opens only one night a year. When our sons were small, I played a trick on them. 'Come,' I said, 'if you are very quiet, you will see your father create living magic.' I brought them out of their beds into the moonlight to the wall where I had planted the vine, knowing the hour of its bloom, and with a sorcerous sweep of hand said, 'Adam commands you to bloom.' The blossom opened wide as their eyes in the glow of their faces, And Eve, I did feel powerful. Eve, a father may be forgiven for wanting to seem magical in the eyes of his children, for wanting them to see wonders in the darkness. Adam, I had thought to recapitulate a memory for them of our original world of awe, to create for them a better Eden. There is no more time. Eve, work to regenerate time. Adam, how? Eve, I want to nurture life again. Adam, we don't know what is next in store for us, for those who might be born. I want to build houses. Eve, our children will design their own houses. Start with our love, Adam. That is ours. Creator could not will this into us. I love you, husband. Adam, I love you. Takes her into his arms. They kiss. How can we ever begin again, Eve? Not from the beginning. I know the taste of you so well. They enter the house, passion rising. Epilogue. Late afternoon, long shadows. Eve stands near the pond. Adam walks from the far field to the garden. Adam looking upwards. I clocked the clouds today at 18 to the minute. Strong wind to speed them so fast. Night is a long time coming. As he speaks, Eve moves towards him, looking upwards at the sky as he does. He takes her hand and folds it with his and points their clasped hands upward, speaking again. The moon tonight will be at perigee, its closest point of orbit. The heavens are beginning to crowd us. Earth's lunar satellite has become a travel stop, a destination. My maps were always right about that, Eve. Your maps predicted the ocean coming back to us. Let's walk to the shore. I want to watch moonbeams break into currents on the waves. Adam, the scene around them fading as they walk. In wind like this, each wave is an avalanche. I never want to sail. Eve, does it worry you to walk outside the borders of our garden? Adam, the shore was always part of my landscape design. Eve, I love the independent will of the sea, totally beyond your control or mine or Creator's. Adam, was it blind will of water that drove yesterday's excursion boat onto the rocks? 20 children swallowed on a short sightseeing trip. Eve, I think that may have been the pilot's hubris, snapping his fingers at weather. Adam, ambiguity. Each day the sea opens, invitation and threat. Eve, listen. She picks up a shell and holds it to his ear. Sound of powerful wave breaking, Adam. That is the sound of original chaos. Eve, I feel undertow within me. My body dives into the tides without my willing it. Sound of surf breaking rhythmically onto shore. Seagulls calling. Adam, I have always wanted to keep you safe. Eve, you were the gardener. The paths you designed gave solace. Adam, I measure time by units of chosen work. You always know where to find me. Eve, so many anniversaries, your gift. Adam, the propitiation of work, your gift. Eve, we have invented marriage. Adam, we were created so. Eve, if we could write this story out of primal chaos, what order would we make of it? Adam, listening to the sounds of the breakers. Each wave rises. Eve, listening. Question. Adam, and breaks. Eve, answer. Adam, question. Answer. What order would we shape out of chaos? Eve, to bind our children safe. Sound of loud crashing wave frightens her. What did the wave bring this time, Adam? A shell, a pebble, a toy shovel. And now the tide pulls them back. The breakers are hungry. Eve, hold me, Adam. The sea is in love with us. Foam spills over the boundary of our garden. Adam, reassuring, and crawls back, hugging the sand. The moon will not release the sea. They are inseparable. The man and woman stand embraced, gazing outward, listening to the constant reverberation of the sea. Moonlight breaks on the water. Curtain.